the title of the series, What Happens When You Die. Is there anybody going to be exempt from this? Not well, unless what? Unless Jesus raptures the church. If Jesus raptures the church, I'm not going to die. I'm just going straight on to heaven. Amen? How many of y'all would prefer that over any of the other options? Woo, me too. I'd rather, you know, just to be caught in the air instead of dug in a hole and put in the ground. Right? That's me. So as we continued in this series, What Happens When You Die, we learned that a very special time of celebration known as the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. We learned that on this day that the church, the bride of Christ, will be united with the Lamb, our groom. We learned that only those who are truly saved will be at the supper of the Lamb, and that very few details as to exactly what is going to actually be like are seen in Scripture, but we know that God has unlimited resources and nothing's going to be held back. Unlike my daughter's wedding, we held back. I mean, I don't tell my wife no that often because I'm smart. We compromise. But I told her no quite a few times during this wedding. Okay, moving on. We learned that all the Old Testament saints from the time of Adam to the resurrection of Christ are going to be present to watch this wedding take place. And then we'll be invited to the feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We learned that this day will be a great day of celebration and worship. We will on this day be worshiping the one who loves us most, the one who has always loved us most in fullness and in truth. And listen, on this day when we worship him, we're not going to hold back. I have my back to y'all when we're singing praise and worship, and I look around from some time, and I'm looking. I see this right here. When the sun sets, I see y'all. I can't hear you, but on this day. On this day, the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's not going to be any holding back. These people are going to be looking at you and say, my heavens, what in the world? Why couldn't you do that when we were on earth in the church, man? Come on. Did y'all see pretty poor old Michael up here by himself this morning? Michael was by himself. There's room up here for some more men in the choir. Miss Desi, you were the, I heard too. There's more room up here in the choir for some men. That's a little better, I guess. Today, we're going to see something else that's going to take place when we die. Now, this event should really get you excited. It's a good one. It's another good one. It's not a bad one. It comes right after the marriage supper of the Lamb. Church, what we're going to watch is our Lord putting an end to something that is very irritating. What could it be? False religion. I am so sick and tired of false religion. I'm so sick and tired of false churches, false witnesses. And one day, God's going to put an end to it. So let's read about this day. Look at Revelation 19. We're going to start reading in verse 11. Revelation 19, we're going to start reading in verse 11. Scripture says, and John records, then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. And in his righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like fiery flame, and his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knows except him. He wore a robe stained with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses, wearing white, pure white robes. Who is that army? That's going to be part of us. Listen, the church is raptured. We're going to be right there behind him. Verse 15 says, from his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it, he might strike the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will also trample the winepress of fierce anger of God and the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out in a loud voice, saying to all the birds flying in mid heaven, come and gather together for a great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and the flesh of riders and the flesh of everyone, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider of the horse and against his army. Y'all, this is comedic right here. All these men of the earth who think they are so great are going to wage war with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now listen, understand something here. When you wage war, something in your mind tells you that you have the possibility of winning. Now I don't know about you, but if I saw an army coming at me this way, we'll set up a perimeter, we'll set a defense. Ricky Tyre, if they came this way, I would turn my army. I'd say, okay, we're going to set up a perimeter here. We're going to set our defenses here. As soon as they get close enough, we're going to get them. The same from behind in any direction. But church, when the army is coming from the air, I ain't going to set a perimeter. I'm running. They think they can win. They're mistaken. Verse 20 says, but the beast was taken prisoner, and along with him the false prophet who has performed signs and with authority, by which he deceived those who accepted the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Both of them were thrown alive in the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider of the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now, asking you to forgive us where we fail you. And God, we do. Lord, I pray that you would settle us right now. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to hear this word, God, but not only hear it, help us to see where it applies in our lives that we might be greater servants for you when we walk through these doors here in a few moments back into our mission fields. God, we love you. Let us hear a word from you this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. I want us to do a little demonstration this morning. I want to just try to get the clarity of the message before I even get to the message. I want you to understand something. Now, as we evaluate realness, because you know what we're seeing this morning is God is destroying fake religion, false religion. That's what we see in Revelation 19, starting verse 11 through 21. It's gone. I wish it was gone today, Ricky Tyre. But we have a problem. We as humans, we as individuals, we have a way of deciding whether something is real or not. What do we use to decide whether something's real or not? Our senses, right? So this morning, I have in this bag, this little cute little Walmart bag. I did not buy this, y'all. Okay? I found this, and I think Amy did it or somebody brought it. But I want you, as I pull objects out of this bag, I want you to, in your mind, tell me or think to yourself, okay, that's real or it's not. Okay, it's real or it's not. It's not that hard, okay, some of y'all? All right, here we go. This is an apple. This is a lemon. This is another apple. This is a lime. Momo's, she's on the front row and she's just first one. That's a real one. She didn't say anything about the rest of them. That's a lime. Then we have another apple. And then we have another lemon. Now, each one of y'all in your mind, you said, okay, real, real, not real, not real. So let's see how you did. How many of y'all think you got all of them right? Raise your hand. Some of y'all, I ain't playing this game. I know how this ends. You tricked us one time before. CJ, we have done with the senior adults, I'll eat anything for a dollar. You remember that? Yeah. And they played, son. They didn't say, I ain't eating that like some of the, So let's see. The first one I pulled out was this apple here, and you said it's real. Most of y'all said it's real. And I messed with you because I put, you know, the bar can't code on it. It's not real. It's fake. But it looks real, doesn't it? It looks real. Now, if you go to my house, I don't know why my wife did, but there's a little basket on the counter, and there's a basket of fake fruit, and my children have come, you know, it's been there for a while, and at some point in time, somebody actually came to the house, and there was an apple looked just like this, and they picked that dude up, and Gary, they bit it. And she didn't throw it away. I mean, it's still there. Hadn't rotted yet. Then we pulled another one out. Y'all said, oh, yeah, that's real. No, it's not real either. This one does? I don't see them. Oh, they're right there. There's teeth marks there. Lemon. Yeah, this is real. I mean, it's a big one, but this one's real. This lime, Momo, you did good, girl. It is real. This apple, how many of y'all think this is real? Yeah, it's real. It's real. I'm not going to bite it, but it's real. How about this lemon? It is not real. It is not real. It's fake. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? See, our senses tell us whether something's real or whether it's fake. We use our eyes and listen, if I could have blindfolded y'all and I could have said, okay, I'm gonna, you know, just put this up to your nose, and you could have used, yeah, that's real. You could have used your nose, you could use your eyes, you know, you can't use your ears. Well, I guess you could because you could thump it. Yeah, that's not real. But you use your senses to decide whether something's real or not. Do you realize that we use our senses to figure out whether religion is real or not? We look at what's, oh, look at that. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that church is blowing they're busting at the seams. God is blessing that like crazy. It's just unbelievable. I want you to help you understand something. Adrian Rogers said years ago, even the graveyards are growing in numbers. Just because you have numbers doesn't mean that God's blessing. Do you understand? We have an unbelievable phenomenon taking place in America today where false religion is gaining ground and the real church, the Holy Spirit-filled church, is losing its way. Well, what is it? It's the sign of the times. The closer we get to the time of Christ's rapture in the church, Scripture says there's going to be a great falling away from. People are going to have itching ears and tickling ears. They're going to want to hear a semblance of the gospel, though they don't want to hear the truth. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying? I just settle down. We'll get to it here in a second. We've seen how we detect what's real or not. Well, what's the big deal as long as a person has religion? Well, what's the big deal, Brother Kyle, so long as people have religion? They're good, right? They're okay, right? No, wrong. Religion is the single most dangerous obstacle that a lost world is facing today. Religion has sent more people to hell than any other known obstacle in the history of mankind. Religion tells you that you're good enough, that you're better than some people. Religion tells you that you can work your way to heaven. You can wait till the last second. Don't do it now. Religion tells you you can wait till the last second. Religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts making you feel comfortable with who you are. It tells you that if you say this, do this, eat this, come to this certain class, you will appease a holy and a righteous God. Church, religion is a lie from Satan himself. It's a lie. There is but one way to heaven, and the only way to appease God is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen to me. Right now. Right now. That's the only way you're going to appease a holy and a righteous God. Now, church, in the world that we now live in, I have a very important question to ask. How can you tell what is fake and what is real? How can you look at a religion and tell whether it's fake or whether it's real. Now, church, you must have something to use as a filter. I've used the coffee maker analogy or illustration many times. If I want coffee in the morning, I've got to make it the night before. So, it, you know, Amy just goes out and pushes the button, or I go out and push the button. Now, Ricky Tire, if I go out there and I just fill the pot with water and stick it in there, I'm not going to have coffee in the morning. It's got to run through the grinds and back into the pot, right? Some of y'all go to Starbucks. Y'all don't know how in the world to make a pot of coffee. Right? You know it costs, I can make a pot of coffee, a whole pot of coffee, for about 52 cents while y'all are spending $8 on a cup of coffee. But you put the water in the back of the machine and you throw the coffee grinds in there and in the middle of a filter. If you don't put a filter in there, it's going to be nasty. Right? The filter catches the coffee grinds and lets the water flow through. We've got to have a filter to show us what is real and what is not. Listen, you must have something that keeps everything in balance. There has to be a moral compass that points us in the right direction when we're looking for something that looks good, because there's some religions that look really, really good, but they're not real. And so that the real is clearly seen. What can it be? What can we use? What can we point at? What can be our moral compass that tells us, okay, this is real. This is not. This is real. Boy, that is definitely not real. The Bible. The Bible is going to tell you what is real and what's not. Can I tell you why people are so drawn to these false heretic religious groups in the day? And it's going to grow. Can I tell you why? Because their nose is not in the book. It is absolutely astounding, blows my mind, that people who call themselves mature Christians, they can't tell you how many books are in the Bible. They can't. They know very little about the Bible. Women, I know Ruth, and I know this person. Their spiritual level is so small, and they fall for every little gimmick, every little false religion. Now, I told you a few weeks ago that the days my walking up to a line and not stepping over it are over. Golly, I figured I'd get a little, you know, something out of that, Jeff. I told y'all a few weeks ago that the days of me walking up to the line and not stepping over are over. Thank you. Y'all got to help me out. I mean, come on. That my days of saying this person said this without naming names was over. Okay, golly, y'all, come on. Listen to me. World famous pastor, preacher, and evangelist T.D. Jake said in an interview, when asked about his opinion on homosexuality, he said this, that homosexuals should attend congregations that affirm their lifestyle and that politics do not need to reflect biblical ethics, adding that his position, a pastor has a position. On homosexuality, his position is both evolved and still evolving. During an interview with the Huffington Post, that right there ought to tell you something, Jakes was asked by an interview if he believes that homosexuals and the black church can coexist. His response was, absolutely. I think that it's going to be a diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion. He said this, Stan. Every church has a different opinion on issues, and every gay person is different, he replied. And I think that to speak that of that church, the black church, the white church, or any kind of church you want to call it, are all the same is totally not true. Jake said that he thinks homosexuals should find a congregation that affirms their lifestyle. Church, if you find a church that affirms a lifestyle that the Bible says is wrong, you don't have a church. You have religion. The day that we live in, all these groups want to be coddled and oh, listen, it's okay, baby. Hey, it's okay. Listen, it's okay. You don't have to change. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You don't have to change. Listen, God does love them, and we will welcome any person who comes in this door, and we'll love them to Jesus the same way Jesus loves them. But we're not going to tell them a lie and say, listen, you don't have to change. Listen, Scripture, salvation is all about change. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, if, contingent, if any man be in Christ, he is the same old creation, right? He can do what he wants to. He doesn't have, no, Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things become new. Well, why do all things become new? Because the Holy Spirit of God who wasn't in you is now in you, and he's going to change you. Well, I don't want to be changed. Well, you probably just need to leave now. We have people, church, who call themselves Christians, who say that they can have different opinions on worldviews and still be Christians. Ricky Tyre, let me say that again. We have people who call themselves Christians. Craig, they call themselves Christians. That say we can have different opinions on worldviews and still be Christians. Y'all with me? Church, listen to me very carefully. I do not have the luxury of having opinions on any view. I cannot have an opinion on any view. I have no opinions. I either side with God by what the Word of God says, or I'm siding with Satan himself. Do you understand? And just in case you have not realized it yet, false religion comes from Satan. It's not real. So listen to me. Those of you who call yourselves Christians and you support things that are against the Word of God, it's probably because you're not in the Word of God enough to know it's even bad. But if you support something culturally that, oh, yeah, it's okay, it's fine. If you'll do this, this, and this, or you'll vote for this person, listen, and the Word of God says, no, listen, what you're doing, that's bad. Listen, you need to step back and find out whether you're a Christian or not. The Word of God is going to tell you what to do. There's no... You don't have to question. You don't have to wonder because it's the Word of God. You have perfect clarity. Well, I just don't know what to do. Since I've been saved, there's been times in my life where, you know, there's certain instances where I don't know whether I should do this or that. But when it comes to moral or ethical issues, Dan, it's been clear as a bell. Nope, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. If you can continue to live like the world and look like the world and support the activities of the world, listen, the same Holy Spirit's not in you that's in me. Kim, there's times where, not often, but the Holy Spirit whispers to me. You know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit will whisper to you. Hey, you probably didn't spend enough time in the Word of God today. Won't you go back and just read a little bit more? It's my intent when I get to my office, I'll exchange greetings with Becky. I'll come in, I'll walk in the door, I'll say, hey, Becky! And Sheila and I'll exchange, and I'll drink a little bit of coffee, and I'll you know, might go to the bathroom, put my water in the refrigerator. Then I come back, and I shut my office door. And for an hour, I try to just stay in the Word of God. I read one of the Psalms. Today is the 24th. Guess what Psalm I'm reading today? Proverb I'm reading today? Proverbs 24. That's exactly right. So, I'll read a proverb, and then I'll try and read for an hour before I get into my studies. Well, why do I do that? I want to stay focused. I want to stay in the Word. If you don't have a clue what the Word of God says, guess what? You don't have a clue what the Word of God says. You're going to fall for anything. You're going to believe anything. You're going to believe anything the world tells you. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. It's not that bad. When the Bible says, yeah, don't do that. But there's a day coming. Church, there's a day coming. What are you getting at, Brother Kyle? What is this rant all about? I know some of y'all are sitting back there twiddling your thumbs saying, man, I'm ready to go get something to eat. What is this rant about, Brother Kyle? Church, I'm sick to death of dealing with false religion. Y'all don't have to deal with it as much as I do. I'm sick to death of dealing with false religion. I'm tired of answering questions from people who call themselves Christians, but have about as much spiritual depth as a drop of water. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people who sit in this congregation and their eyes are open. They say they're listening to the message, but if they'd have listened to the message this Sunday, they wouldn't have had to ask the question on Monday. It drives me bananas. I'm tired of so-called preachers warping the minds of people who are sitting in the seeking the truth of who God is and how to get to heaven. The scripture we read this morning is the end of all false religion. It's the end. Now understand. Do y'all remember in the Old Testament, or really, you can look at in the New Testament, when we see Zechariah going to worship the Lord before John the Baptist, before anything, and he goes in, and it's his duty at this point in time, Dan, to walk into what's called the Holies of Holy. One person is selected from the priesthood back in those days to walk into the Holies of Holies and offer sacrifice and incense and to the Lord, just spend time with the Lord. And this is how serious they took it. This is how serious they took it, Kim. They would tie a rope around that dude's leg. He would wear a robe, and around the bottom of the robe, you know what they'd have at the bottom of the robe? Little bells. So every time he walked, you'd hear ding 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 ding. Why did they do that? They wanted to make sure he was still alive. Right? Why would he not be alive? You see, when you, Ricky Tyre, when you walk into the Holies of Holy, you better be clean. You better be righteous. You better have spent some time with God in preparation. If you're selected to be the person who walks in the Holies of Holies, they don't tell you 10 minutes before. You prepare. You ceremoniously wash yourselves. That means, guys, you clean your fingernails. Right? You scrub your body. You are clean, ceremoniously clean. You put on a clean white garment. Very clean. If you're the one who's supposed to be walking into the Holies of Holy and you ate a sausage biscuit from Hardee's or a gravy biscuit from Hardee's and some gravy dripped on your dress, you ain't going to the Holy of Holies of that day. Pure. You've spent time with God. And listen, even though you're clean, when you get there, before you walk in, you will wash your feet before you walk into the Holies of Holy. Why do they do all this? Because they understood that they were walking into the presence of the God of the universe. And they were offering sacrifices to the God of the universe. Do you understand? And if your sacrifice, your offering, was not appeasing to God, God would kill you. If you had sin in your life that was unconfessed, that you didn't spend time in God, and God would kill you. That's why they tied a rope around your leg, and that's why you wore the bells around your dress. I'm glad I don't have to wear a dress. You mean to tell me that God is that serious about walking into His presence? That He's that serious that He will kill you if you have unconfessed sin in your life and you try to do this and do that? You mean God is that serious? God has wiped out nations because of this. and you think you can live your life apart from the Word of God, do as you want to do, say what you want to do, whatever, and God's not going to deal with you? You're living in fantasy land. Church, on this day that we read about in Revelation 19, this is where I want you to get excited. On this day in Revelation 19, church has already been raptured. We've gone through the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've gone through the wedding of the Lamb. The Lamb and the church are united as one. We don't know what that's going to be like, but it's going to be phenomenal. There's nothing held back. On this day that we're talking about today, Brooke, listen, on this day, there will only be one source, and that source is Jesus. Do you know how many false religions are out there? Do you know how many false prophets and false preachers are preaching in pulpits right now? Listen, in Southern Baptist churches. They're not just in Jehovah's Witness. They're not just in the Mormon churches. They're in our churches right now. But on this day, the source of all is going to be Jesus. On this day, something else. There will only be one truth, and that truth is Jesus. People say, listen, you just don't understand the truth. The truth is this. You have to buy a hula hoop if you want to get to heaven. And you have to be able to use that hula hoop. And you have to be able to throw that hula hoop up in the air and throw a football or some kind of ball through the hula hoop or you don't make it to heaven. Brother Kyle, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, you ought to listen to some of the junk they tell you have to actually do to get to heaven. You have to work 175,000 hours riding a bicycle in blackout outfit or you're not getting to heaven. Well, you know, it's kind of funny that you say that. And it's even funnier that people call them, you know, that they believe it, that they believe this garbage when the Bible says that all you have to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's it. That's it. You mean to tell me those guys who ride bicycles and knock on your door at Saturday morning at 8 o'clock trying to get you to come, they're false prophets? Yeah, they're false prophets. And if you'd get in the Word of God, you'd know it. They're spewing. I mean, what they're doing is they're adding to the gospel. They're adding to the gospel. It's progressive revelation. They're saying their word, their magazines, are equal to and sometimes supersede the Word of God. And you buy into it. Years ago, do you know who the number one sucker was for these groups? They'd knock on the door, and you'd open the door, and you'd talk to them, and they would get you to convert over to their cult. Do you know who the number one indoctrinated group was in all the United States? Baptist. Do you know why? Because you don't know your Bible. You don't know your Bible. Hey, some of y'all don't even know where your Bible is. Some of y'all don't even know what the last time you picked your Bible up and read it. Some of y'all, if I told y'all to turn to the book of Hezekiah, boy, y'all be doing this right here. Woo, I got to find Hezekiah. I got to find it before she finds it. Because I want to look spiritual. Is Hezekiah in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Church, on this day, there will be perfect clarity. No one will be scratching their heads asking who's wrong and who's right. Church, Jesus on this day is going to be right and everyone else is going to be wrong. No more doubts. On this day, we will see the worldwide religion of Christ start and the reign of Satan on the earth temporarily ended. We will have 1,000 years of peace without Satan and his minions seeking folly and wreaking folly on this world. Church, can I tell you that I'm tired of seeing so-called Christians confused by what is taking place in our world? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Can I tell you that it makes me sick to see Christians following religion instead of a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm tired of man thinking his rights outweigh God's laws. Let me say that again. I'm tired of man thinking his rights outweigh God's laws. I have a solution. Y'all ready? It's not hard. Follow the Word. Follow the Word. Brother Kyle, I don't understand the Bible. The Bible is so hard. It's so confusing. Y'all, listen, I wasn't a great student. I've told y'all this. I was not. Y'all think of Brother Kyle, he made straight A's, he made this. No. I really didn't. I mean, I liked to go to school. I did. I liked them square pizzas they served in the lunch line. I did. I liked physical education. In the ninth grade, we had a beautiful, beautiful physical education. I don't know what we did in there. I mean, I just watched her. That's all the guys did. Her name was Pam. That's all I know. Her name was Pam. She said, today we're going to do so-and-so. That's fine. Let's go. Let's do it. We can just follow her. I mean, when we had tests, I did okay so long as the person next to me did good. I really did. I've told y'all, I haven't tried to hide it. Listen, I like ninth grade so much, I went twice. I took ninth grade twice. I really did. Now, I finally got my act together when we, you know, come graduation. I graduated, I think, 31 in my class. There were only 34 of us, though. Right? But God, I just don't understand the Word of God. I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's because you don't want to make sense of it. It's really easy. It is. Jesus is all through the Old Testament. He is concealed in the New Testament. He is all in the New Testament revealed. It's that simple. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't see Jesus talking about in the New Testament, so it doesn't apply. Listen, if you don't see it in the New Testament, it's probably in the Old Testament. And if it's in the Old Testament, it applies in the New Testament. Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the law, but to seek sinners to God. He came to fulfill the law. Church, do you want this peace? I can't wait for this peace. Brother Frank, this day when false religion is gone and we have perfect clarity of what's right and what's wrong. Listen, you get on the internet and people will spew all their venom. This is what's right in this world. This is what's wrong in this world. And you see people go at each other and they argue back and forth. Well, this person's he's an idiot. No, this person's the greatest person in all the world. Listen, we don't have clarity now, but on this day we'll have clarity. Perfect clarity. Well, how can we have clarity now? You've got to filter it through the Word of God. Is this right or wrong? Filter it through the Word of God. Is this person taking a godly stand? Filter it through the Word of God. Filter it through the Word of God. Do you want this peace that this world, in this world that we've talked about this morning? Church, Jesus comes, and when he comes, he's going to put the death on all these world religions. Do you want to have a clear conscience knowing that what you're doing right now in the eyes of the Lord is the right thing to do? Can I offer this peace this morning to you? All you have to do is follow the Word of God. The Word of God will never tell you to do something that the Word of God tells you, the Word of God will never tell you to do something that the Word of God tells you not to do. Church, peace comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. You can find Him every day. Guess where? In the Word of God. My question to you this morning is, will you seek Him there? Some of y'all, please go home and find your Bibles. Go home and find your Bibles. If Jesus were to show up at your front door and he looked at you, and I thank God this is not going to happen, and he looked at you and said, listen, we've set a new rule in heaven. We've changed our standards. And this is what's going to happen. I want to see your copy of the Word of God, and by the way it looks, it's going to determine whether you get into heaven or not. Well, what do you mean, God? Well, if it's worn out, we're going to give you a grade A ticket. But if that thing doesn't look like it's even been opened, if the pages aren't ripped, if you don't have some highlighter here, if there's no notes in the front, if there's not just, you know, tear stains, if the pages aren't ripped. Listen, if you ain't even signed your name on the front page, buddy, something's wrong with you. Do you know what that means? If you don't have your Bible signed, it means you don't care whether it gets lost or not. Will you take the Word of God serious? The reason we're so gullible as Christians and we'll believe anything is because we have no scriptural depth. Do you want that depth, church? It's easy. All you have to do is get in the Word. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes right now during this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move during this audience, that your name would be glorified. If there's somebody here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would give them the ability to walk this aisle and come to know you as their Savior. Lord, for those Christians who this message touched because they don't have a clue where their Bible is. They haven't read their Bible. They don't have a clue. Lord, I pray that you would touch them and have them come down and just spend some time with you this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?